Years ago, the resident architect joined up with a family environmental engineer to create a very special abode. They spent a weekend fashioning a nesting platform for great horned owls in hopes of providing the perfect honeymoon cottage for the pair that spent the previous year in our shelter belt. We watched and waited as Ollie and Big Alberta sidled through various stages of a relationship, and we were overjoyed when the Big Mama finally moved in and set up house in early February. Through an early spring blizzard, she managed to survive, with nest and eggs intact beneath 12 inches of heavy snow. I plowed through hip-deep drifts to see her bedraggled, wet-feathered head rise and look down at me with a we-are-not-amused glare in her big yellow eyes. But then the snow was capped off by 4 inches of ice that coated everything, breaking limbs and creating frozen shards that next day began to fall like icy missiles. It totally filled the nest, and rivers of icy water began to run from the edges and cone-shaped bottom. Once again, I plowed my way to the base of the tree and found eggshell fragments and a section of the nesting platform lying in the snow. Alberta circled the top of the tree for several minutes, making crying, cawing sounds that did not match any of the hoots and calls I had heard before. Then she took off to the northeast and didn't return. Ollie hung around for a month or two, silently roosting at the edge of the trees, and then he too decided to move to greener, perhaps gentler, pastures. I was heartbroken and went through several emotional stages, ranging from anger and rage at our crazy Kansas weather to sadness and a sense of emptiness in my daily routine. The owls that had been so much a part of our lives had fought, failed, and found another place to live, a place that did not include me. I watched throughout the next season for the familiar silhouettes perched against the winter landscape at sunset, and I listened for owl songs before sunrise, but heard none. We rebuilt the nesting cone and installed it in the same tree, up on the same branches, and it sat empty throughout the next year. But then owl omens began to appear. I saw a rare, long-eared owl who rested with us for a couple of days before traveling on to his summer range, and a small screech owl visited, followed by a brief appearance by a barn owl. A flock of crows began their cawing and wheeling around the cedars, and I figured that only a large owl would bring on this display of hatred, called mobbing in the bird books. Then a couple of nights later, I heard familiar low-toned hoots, followed by a higher-pitched answering call, and I knew we once again had a pair of great horned owls claiming our place as their own. We began to watch the territorial behavior of the male, followed by wary signs of courtship during the first few days of the new year. And then nothing. They seemed to have disappeared again. I walked through the trees, watched at sunrise and sunset, visited all the old favorite haunts, but no sign of either owl. Just when I was thinking they had moved on again, I noticed movement in the nesting platform, and there she was, and proud Ollie standing guard a tree or two away, waiting to bring home the bacon for the next 3 months, while Alberta kept the home fires burning. Throughout March and April, we kept our distance and a breathless watch on the weather. Luckily, it was a mild winter, and in April, we saw two fuzzy tennis ball-sized heads bobbing up and down in the nest. Since that time, owl watching has once again become a major part of our routine, and we're often joined by friends and neighbors who enjoy looking in on the feathered family that annually makes our place their home. If you'd like a look-see at Ollie, Big Alberta, and some of their previous youngsters, you can go to our website at hppr.org. And next week, I'll tell you a bit more about great horned owls and how easy it is to build them a home in your own backyard.